I'm Joe Morgenstern, the film critic of The Wall Street Journal. Two unimaginable journeys become more than imaginable, and God Grew Tired of Us, a documentary by Christopher Quinn and Tommy Walker. The movie makes them vivid and memorable, yet the impact is lessened by a lack of factual context and by an inspirational climax that leaves you feeling good and uneasy in equal measure. The first of those journeys, narrated by Nicole Kidman, is that of the so-called Lost Boys of Sudan. 25,000 innocents orphaned by Sudan's savage civil war, who fled their villages in the 1980s and wandered Africa on foot for 5 years before reaching a United Nations refugee camp in Kenya. More than half of them died along the way. On the other journey, the camera follows three of those camp dwellers, no longer boys but men, as they're relocated to the United States, two in Pittsburgh, one in Syracuse. Part of the fascination is watching fish out of water. The world travelers confront mystery after mystery. Airplanes, light switches, running water, toilets, potato chips, ice skating, Santa Claus, supermarkets as vast as African savannas. More fascinating still is how they feel about their new lives. They've gained creature comforts and a shot at American prosperity. But what these enormously charming young men have lost, the makeshift families of the Long March, the vital communities within the refugee camp, leaves them feeling haunted, sometimes hopeless, and terribly vulnerable to loneliness. You can take the boy out of the country, but you can't take the sorrow out of the boy. Where the film falls down is in its vagueness about the resettlement effort. How many of these young men were brought here? How big a dent does it make in the refugee problem? No answers are given. And the climax comes close to TV cliché, the make-a-wish syndrome strikes again when one of the men is reunited with his mother. The moment is certainly shattering. Fresh off the plane in Syracuse, the woman collapses at her son's feet. But the scene bespeaks a media conundrum, how to focus public attention on vast social upheavals without turning them into grist for the entertainment mill. It's not a good sign when the opening credits announce, as they do in Stomp the Yard, that the screenplay is based on another screenplay. But there's no trace of any screenplay for the first few minutes of the film. It's all images and deafening music. Inner city L.A., a street dancing contest, dancers gyrating wildly, yelling, cheering, glad faces, mad faces, rival dancers fight, gunshots, a boy is dead. Only then does a conventional plot about step dancing kick in. Conventional enough in its dogged way to make you yearn for a little chaos. Step dancing, or stepping, is a form of street dancing that has evolved into a cross between Ladysmith Black Mambazo and Marine Corps basic training. Adrenalized automata acting out anger, menace, pride, audacity, or joy. The troubled young hero of Stomp the Yard is a streetwise dancer named DJ. He's played very well by Columbus Short. DJ has lost his kid brother in that title sequence fight, and he's facing time in juvenile hall for his role in the dust-up. To avoid that, he enrolls reluctantly in Truth University, an ostensibly prestigious all-black school in Atlanta that seems to be an institution of higher stepping, since there's no trace of any learning. The school is fictional, but Untruth University wouldn't have sounded right. Truth U's life is organized around Greek fraternities, which are organized around stepping contests. Stepping is everything in Stomp the Yard and, dare I say it, a stepping stone to DJ's redemption. I'm Joe Morgenstern, and I'll be back on KCRW next week with more reviews.